Hello. It's always good to share God's word. And this morning we are do so with the intention of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us. Now this is the time that we request that you will speak to all of us, O Lord. I believe we're ready to listen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace to you from Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In the formation of the EOCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we have a different ethnic representation: Latinos, Hispanic, African Americans, Native Americans, and a pocket of many other ethnic. And once a year, those particular ethnic group get together to celebrate their ministry. And they do that in different part of the country. People will come, lay people and clergy will gather, and their guests will come. And it's a really a good opportunity for those ethnic specific group to get to know each other and to relate in light of doing ministry. When I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right before after the merging of the new Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it was an activity like that that took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I was invited, and at the same time, I invited my mom and dad to come along with me to Minneapolis for those 3 days, two evenings, you know, a church gathering. Anyway, so my dad happened to be an Assembly of God pastor. All right? Keep that in mind. And I invite him to come to a Lutheran celebration in Minneapolis. So we drove from Milwaukee to Minneapolis, and we got there, and I can tell my dad I was kind of wondering, how is my father going to react to be an Assembly of God pastor with all these, you know, Lutherans? Anyway, we spent a couple of days, and then the last day of the gathering, it was a dinner. There were around 300 to 400 people in this room, and the music was great, and there were some wonderful musicians playing Latino music, well, hymns and all kinds of stuff, and it was beautiful. And I was sitting next to my dad and my mother over there, and a group of people, and you know, the Lutheran got get going. So they start doing this. All around the room, holding each other, walking, you know, having fun. And have you seen that? Oh yeah, it's fun. So they were going around the hall, you know, coming to different tables, and people were, okay, let's go and join. They came to our table, and guess what? My dad get up and went like this. He was having a good time. And I thought, I was sitting there saying, no way. No way. To me, it looked like he created a sense of belonging. He belonged, and he, you know, like he was part of the wellness of the Lutherans. He was, even though he was an AG, he was part of that group that was celebrating, you know, the sense of community, wholeness, regardless of denomination, you know, and I was very impressed with him. He enjoyed himself. And I was, you know, wondering, well, it sounds like he belongs. He died being an AG, but he, in the moment, he became part of that community to express the reality of belonging and a purpose. Many psychologists will tell you that there are two things all human beings need in order to have a happy and productive life. We need to have a sense of belonging, And we need to have a purpose of being who we are, a purpose for living. Now, let us remember that when you belong, you do not have to do anything, you don't have to change anything. You simply belong, right? Well, sometimes that's not the case. I remember when we moved from the Dominican Republic to Puerto Rico back in the 60s, 66, I was a sophomore in high school. We attended a particular school. We left home and we came to you know, a new life and on dynamics. And we came from the islands of Puerto Rico to Dominican Republic to Puerto Rico to establish ourselves of a new community, perhaps. And I do remember that when I go into the classroom as a sophomore in high school, I was told by Puerto Ricans that I was not really a Puerto Rican person. And they say to me, "What are you doing here, my Dominican strange person?" That was some of the people, not everybody. And I remember thinking, now, this is a hostile type of reality. Am I going to fit in? Am I going to simply belong? What did I have to do to fit in or to belong? As a young person, 16-year-old young person, I was floating between not being a Puerto Rican, just simply Dominican, living in Puerto Rican territory, even though we should know each other. Come on, we eat the same rice and beans. We have pretty much the same history. We had the Taínos that were part of the islands at one point back in history. There were people that they got to know each other. I mean, the Puerto Rican like to dance the salsa. I mean, do the merengue. That's a difference, perhaps. But why do we have to? No, I was told that I was not a Puerto Rican. To say, that is a part of a reality that we have. And when we talk about a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose, that can define our own sense of direction in our own lives. Now, we need to feel that we belong. That's reality. And we need to feel like we have a purpose in life. And here in chapter 21, and this is a beautiful chapter, by the way, as you read chapter 20 in John, that was all about the resurrection of Christ. We have the beauty of Jesus being alive and well, coming out of the tomb, and John will express that was the glorious moment for all those who came to the tomb, for the disciples. Now, and the way of Jesus' resurrection, for Jesus, it was important to impact and to come into the life of the disciples. It was important for the disciples to understand and to get the fact that he was alive and well. But as we read in the gospel, it's strange enough that we start by after breakfast in today's reading. We think about chapter 20 and where Jesus, after the resurrection in part 21, you know the story about when he came in and the disciples were in the room afraid, and he appeared and he said, "Peace be with you." You remember that? That was the first time after the resurrection in a way. The second time, we are told that Thomas was not there. And the disciples say, "We have seen the Lord." And you know the story about Thomas. So the next time Jesus came in when Thomas was within the group, and he said, "Peace be with you." So he said to Thomas, "Here we go." Now you will think that Simon Peter was there. Right? Doesn't say, but the disciples were there. You would think that Peter was able to relate to the living God, to the living Jesus, to the living Lord. Now, as you read in verse 3, go back to chapter 20, he said, Simon, after all this, said to them, I am going fishing. And they say to him, we will go with you. The master is alive and well. He has made a connection with them in the room where they were afraid. He gave them his peace. Peace be with you. They heard that message. And now Peter said, okay, that was fine and well. Now I'm going back to do my business. I'm going fishing. And some of them say, okay, we go with you. So what's taking place? Now, this is beautiful. Jesus knew very well that the disciples were floating in light of his resurrection in a way. They were not completely sure. So in the way of Jesus connecting with the disciples, we are told that when Peter and his compadres went fishing, they spent all night long. And zero. Nada. No fish. No production. Disappointed. All night long, they came with zero production. And guess who was watching them? Or waiting for them? Jesus. And if you read, how about you take time to read the beautiful story? Well, Jesus was on the shore watching those poor fishermen coming in with disappointment in their faces, doing, you know, they're kind of wondering what happens to all of us. And Jesus said, do you have enough fish? It's like, hey, what happened? And they say, no. Well, what about if you do this? Oh, you have been doing this, tossing the nets to the left. What about if you do it to the right? Toss it to the right. It seems like they were doing this all the time, all night long, and nothing. And you say, what about if you change and just do it to the right? Toss it to the right, see what happens. And the miracle, there were so many fish in there. Well, you know the story. I don't have to tell you the story. But they were amazed. And the beauty of this, that Jesus already was in the shore making some barbecue. Not barbecue, but doing food. He was, you know, fishing already, making food for them. And in the way, he was not really needing any more fish because he already had what they were needing to eat with him. He will provide, regardless of iniquity of itself. He's saying, you need to do something to get this. But you know, guess what? Come and have breakfast with me. Come in. And you know the rest of the story. So after breakfast, Jesus and Peter go to a walk down the beach. In this heart-to-heart conversation, three times Jesus asked Simon, do you love me? And three times Peter answered him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Each time Jesus responds with a command to care for his sheep. He's not saying to Peter, thank you for loving me. that's good. But you know, tend my fold, feed my sheep. You love me, you do this. I give you a command. In loving me, you will be able to relate to those who will come and rebattle your ministry. As you show that you really care for me and you love me, you will love those who are impossible to love. If you really love me, you will be able to relate, and the fact that by bringing love to others, you are honoring me by saying that you love me. When I decided to become a pastor, I remember the conversation with some of the key people in my church, and the young pastor asked me, he said, you know, Eliezer, are you really wanting to be a pastor? I said, well, of course, I feel that calling. And then he said this to me, do you love people that well? Do you love people that much? Well, I do love some people. What he was asking me or telling me is that you need to go and show that you love every single one. Not your mother, not your father, not your girlfriend or your spouse. No, you need to show that. And what Jesus is telling Peter, if you love me, you need to do this. You see the difference? Sometimes we say, I love you, honey. But we lack of doing whatever needs to be done to create a sense of understanding that loving means not if Jesus is saying to Peter, the agape love, the one who will create a sense of sacrifice. And he is telling Peter, you will, you know, Peter, that you will be killed and you will be sacrificed and you will lose your life because you say that you love me. Well, you're going to be, yeah, like me. But go and do it. So this conversation that Jesus is having with Peter is a turnaround conversation, I believe, for all of us. Because Jesus ends the conversation the same way that he has in the beginning, or his, the same way that he related to Simon and those fishermen, the same way he asked him after the conversation to finish up this wonderful moment. He said to Peter, follow me. Follow me, he says. Follow me, Jesus called us now. As we sing the song, I decided to follow Jesus. Follow me when he called us to change. We ask ourselves, as we follow, needs to be changed in my life. So that as we follow him, we are declaring that we're ready to do so in a way of a deep relationship, and a deep sense of love, and a deep sense of forgiveness. For Peter, that was a moment of forgiveness. As you remember, three times we are told in the story that he denied Jesus. Well, his affiliation with Jesus, not Jesus himself, for three times. Now, three times he has the opportunity to declare that, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I will follow you into the end. I will sense I'm going to go and do what you're calling me to do. And that will make a sense of wholeness in the life of not only Peter, but in the life of all of us. To conclude, I have three questions for you. You're going to like the question. What does it mean for you personally to follow Jesus right this moment? How do you follow Jesus in your family relationship? How do you follow Jesus in today's political climate. Following Jesus means feeding and caring for his sheep. Using the gift that God has given to work in unison with him as we go day by day. Working in unison with him, Jesus is bringing Peter to understand that you are part of this calling to follow me. So as we declare that we love Jesus, we also love to follow him according to what he wants us to do. It's a person of faith. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter, the disciples, the one who followed Jesus to the end. As we project our desire to follow you, O Lord, as your people, as your church, I pray that you will help us to do so according to your will, your love, and your care. Redirect us, O Lord, and allow us to see that you want us to be honest with ourselves and to know that we have a purpose and that we belong to you. We belong to Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.